ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna, we welcome you to the Sunday morning Bhagavatam class. For discussion today we have Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11, Chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Text number 10 for discussion today.
Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin. Kalahina kshudra sukhoru tarsham. Samuddharainam kripaya pavargair. Vacho bhirasincha mahanubhava. Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin. Kalahina kshudra sukhoru tarsham. Samuddharainam kripaya pavargair. Vacho bhirasincha mahanubhava. Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin. Kalahina kshudra sukhoru tarsham. Samuddharainam kripaya pavargair. Vacho bhirasincha mahanubhava. Samuddharainam kripaya pavargair. Vacho bhirasincha mahanubhava. Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin. Tarainam kripaya pavargair. Vacho bhirasincha mahanubhava.
Mataji.
Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin. Kalahina kshudra sukhoru tarsham. Kripaya pavargair.
Matajis.
Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin. Kshudra sukhoru tarsham. Muddharainam kripaya pavargair. Chobhirasincha mahanubhava. Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin. Kalahina kshudra sukhoru tarsham. Samuddharainam kripaya pavargair. Vacho bhirasincha mahanubhava. दष्टं जनं संपतितं बिलेस्मिन् कालाहिनक्षुद्रसुखोरुतर्षम् समुद्धरैनं कृपया पवर्गे वचोभिरासिञ्च महानुभावा.
We will read word to word translation, translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Dashtam, bitten. Janam, the person. Sampatitam, hopelessly fallen. Bile, in the dark hole. Asmin, this. Kala, of time. Ahina, by the serpent. Kshudra, insignificant. Sukha, having happiness. Uru, and tremendous. Tarsham, hankering. Samudhara, please uplift. Enam, this person. Kripaya, by your causeless mercy. Apavargyai, that awaken one to liberation. That awaken one to liberation.
Vachobhi,
by your words. Asincha, please pour. Mahanubhava, O mighty Lord.
Translation.
O almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Purport. Material life, so much cherished by the non-devotees, is here compared to a dark hole filled with poisonous snakes. In material life, there is certainly no clear understanding of one's ultimate identity, of God or of the universe. Everything is vague and dark. In material life, the poisonous snake of time is always threatening, and at any moment, our near and dear ones will be killed by the mortal fangs of the serpent. Ultimately, we ourselves will also be bitten and killed by the poisonous effects of time. The word sampatitam indicates that the fall down of the living entity is complete. In other words, he cannot get up again. Shri Uddhav therefore appeals to the Lord to be kind to these poor fallen souls, humbly represented by his own self. If one receives the Lord's mercy, then even without any further qualification, one can go back home, back to Godhead. And without the mercy of Lord Krishna, the most learned, austere, powerful, wealthy or beautiful man will be pathetically crushed by the material world's machinery of illusion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described here, is Mahanubhava, or the greatest, most powerful and the most merciful personality, whose influence extends everywhere. The Lord's mercy is manifest in the form of His nectarian instructions, such as Bhagavad Gita and Uddhav Gita, being spoken here. The word Kshudra Sukhoru Tarsham reveals the irony of material existence. Although material happiness is kshudra, or ridiculous and insignificant, our desire to enjoy it is uru, tremendous. Our disproportionate hankering to enjoy dead matter is certainly an illusory state of mind, and it gives us constant distress, keeping us bound up in the dark hole of material existence. Every living entity should put aside his false prestige based on ephemeral bodily qualifications and appeal sincerely to the Supreme Lord Krishna for His mercy. The Lord hears every sincere appeal from even the most fallen soul, and the effects of the Lord's mercy are wonderful. Although jnanis, yogis and fruitive workers are laboriously endeavoring to achieve their respective goals, their position is precarious and uncertain. Simply by achieving the mercy of Lord Krishna, however, one can very easily attain the highest perfection of life. If even one who is not a great or pure devotee of Lord Krishna sincerely appeals to the Lord for His mercy, the Lord is sure to give it generously.
ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the devotees who are seated here so that we can speak something for our own purification and for the benefit of those who have come here to listen something from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in today's shloka, the essential theme is Sri Uddhav is requesting the Supreme Lord, I am suffering, I am in illusion, and please help me come out of this situation. Please help me get freedom by your valuable instructions. Asincha vacho bhir. So, who will want freedom? Somebody who is convinced, aware of this fact that right now I am bound up. If somebody does not even accept, does not even know that he is bound up, there is no question of seeking for freedom. So, one initial thought that comes to my mind when requested to speak on this shloka is that first we'll need to understand, people sitting here need to understand, are we bound up or are we free? Did we get freedom in 1947? And post that, every 5 years there's a big exercise that happens in the country called elections, actually consumes the attention of almost the entire nation. So such an important event, and we elect. It is I who put my vote. It is I who will choose. So I am free, is it not? So, you know, everyone knows about Nelson Mandela, resident of South Africa, black body. And at one point of time, this country was ruled by white people. And then there was racism, differentiation based on the body color. So this person born in 1918, at the age of 44 in 1962, was put in jail. And when he was put in jail, he was put in for life imprisonment. He didn't know what's going to happen next. So many years then, 27 years, he was in jail with no hope of coming out. And his only crime was, he was requesting the people who were ruling, please do not discriminate on the basis of the color of the body.
So we feel Nelson Mandela was imprisoned, yes? But can I also say that the people who were ruling him were imprisoned by their thoughts? They are not willing to accept that somebody with a black color can be of an equal level as me. He may be intelligent, he may be beautiful, but just because he is of black color, he is inferior to me, and anybody who voices against this thought has to be put for life imprisonment in the jail. So we are talking of a situation where the rulers and the ruled both are imprisoned. They have different prisons. So after 27 years in 1960, when he was put in 62, he was released in 1990. And 1990 when he was released, the order came and he's standing at the door of his prison cell. And you know what his thoughts were? He was thinking, I was just put here for no good reason. And now I'm free by the grace of God. So as I'm leaving the prison cell, I have a choice. These are his thoughts. He said, I have a lot of anger. I have a lot of bitterness. A lot of resentment in my heart. Why did this happen to me? And he said, I am getting free from one prison, the physical prison, but as I move out, if I do not give up my anger, my frustration, my resentment, he said, I am putting myself in another prison. Yes? And he's saying, it was a choice for me. The first physical prison is not my choice. Somebody put me in, he has the right to release me. But what about the mental prisons that Nelson Mandela is talking of? Do we also feel something similar? We have some person in our life against whom we have a lot of resentment. He is the one who spoiled my life. He is the one who ruined everything. Everything was going smooth. And we will not dare release him from the mental prison that we have for no reason whatsoever, is it not? So Nelson Mandela is saying, I had a thought that day that self-imprisonment is much worse than induced imprisonment. Because when somebody else imprisons you, at least you have somebody to blame. At least you can point fingers to somebody. You have somebody to blame to God even. You know, he's the one, so you take care of him. But what if you imprison yourself voluntarily, willfully? Whom will you blame? You're caught. So he underwent a catharsis. He underwent a lot of purification in his heart. And he said, in those two steps that I took outside the prison, at that moment I had to take a very strong decision. I let go. I am willing to forgive these people who did harm for no good reason against me. So this is what I call as imprisonment that many free nations are undergoing today. All of us are born in free India, most of us. But we all have gone through self-induced imprisonment. How many of you use Gmail? Yes? Recently, Gmail had an update saying, you know, when there's a send button at the email, as soon as you send it, there's another option that comes out, undo. Yes. So why is that undo option now there? Because they know a lot of people have a lot of anger and a lot of emails get sent in that fit of rage. You're angry at somebody and you hit the button. So they give you a 5-second window. Do you really want to send it? Just in case you hit the button before you thought about it, hit the undo, it'll come back. Yes? So these things are not being spoken by Gmail, but basically when Gmail does something, you have to understand it's based on research. Gmail, Google, they are ones who are there for every small penny in your pocket. They will never ever go for a wrong decision. It means a lot of people told them, sir, if only you could give me this facility. Because many times when I receive an email, sometimes I receive a phone call, I immediately write a very nasty mail and send it. And then later I realize I should not have done that. So now the latest update is you can type a mail, you can send it, and you also can time it. So you can say, you write your reply, and then you say, tomorrow afternoon you send it. So it gives you time from today afternoon when you're typing it to next day afternoon. Think over it. Are you sure you want to do this? It means we are living, all of us, most of us are living a life of self-induced imprisonment of negativity. Is it not? Just, you know, I remember there's one family in one city in India. There's a very nice family. They're Shetty by birth. So usually Shettys are the ones who run all these restaurants. Famous for that. But this Shetty family is a very nice devotee family. Yes. And for so many years, because they are being devotees, they have been vegetarians, obviously. So now they want to get their son married. And they were looking for some options. So then they put their profile as, the son is a vegetarian. So many months passed and no options came. Because none of the Shetty girls want to marry a vegetarian Shetty boy. What good is a Shetty boy if he's not a non-vegetarian? That's what they do. So then recently what happened is, this boy, he read something called as veganism. Anybody knows about this? So vegan is a vegetarian who also has some extra conditions. He won't drink milk, he won't eat paneer, he won't have cheese, butter, ghee. So whatever comes from the cow, because in the Western world, there is this movement, well, they have this huge economically driven dairies where the cow is not seen as an animal, it is seen as a machine that produces milk. So then feed hormones, put injections, whatever you do with the cow, it's a machine, is it not? Just plug in at one end, feed, and then plug out from another end, derive milk from there. So there are so many people, out of their sensitivity, they have come up with this idea that in addition to being non-cruel to animals for slaughtering them, we'll also be non-cruel to cows in that we won't take any milk from these dairies. So this is called vegan. Sounds good, is it not? Vegetarian, vegan. So this boy, when he learned this, just recently he updated his profile saying that, I am vegan. First it was, I am vegetarian. As soon as he put vegan, 5 proposals came. So he vegetarian, he's like old fashioned, purana zamane ka koi lag raha hai. Bombay mein rehta hai, lekin kahin to 50 saal pehle hi atka hua hai. Vegan, yes. This is something that is modern, you know. So many of these Westerners who come to India, and our Radhavallabh Prabhu cooks for them, he always tells them, we have vegan diet. So they are very fond of this word vegan. So many of us are caught up in our own emotions, not ready to give it up, either in negativity or we have our own conceptions. We're strongly bound by it, is it not? So there are two words. One is called freedom and one is called independence. So freedom is something that is awarded to you by somebody else. And independence is something that you earn for yourself. Independence has this word, dependence. So independence means free from dependence. I may be free, but I may be dependent. And I may not be free, but I may be independent in my thoughts. So here, Uddhav is saying, I'm free. I don't have anybody ruling over me. But still I feel I am in this deep, dark hole. And repeatedly being bitten by the snake of time, and please help me by your instructions. So, very difficult for people to accept this idea. In the first canto, 9th chapter, Bhishma Dev is speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj, the Pandavas, and they have undergone so many trials in their life, and Bhishma Dev is advising them, Sarvam Kala Kritam Manye. Actually, I saw all the series of events that went wrong in your life. Please don't mind. Please don't point your fingers to Duryodhan. Please don't point your fingers to Dushasan. Please don't point your fingers to anybody. He says, Sarvam Kala Kritam Manye. Ye jo sab hua hai aapke jeevan mein vipreet, wo sab kyun hua hai? Kal ke prabhav se hua hai. Sarvam Kala Kritam Manye. Bhavatam cha yad apriyam. Sapalo yad vashe loko. This time is not just ruling you because you are ruled. They did not have their kingdom, right? 14 years, 13 plus 1. Sa palo yad vashe loko. Sa pala, palak means the king. So you might feel, Bhishma, it's very easy for you to tell us that you are being ruled by time. What about these people? He said, sa palo yad vashe loko. Time is not only ruling on the ruled, time is also ruling on the rulers. So don't worry, it's all an effect of time. Very soon, and you saw it, Duryodhan, Dushasan, Shakuni will get what they deserve. Sa pale yad vasho loko, vayor iva ghanavali. Just look at here, Arjun, in the sky you see these big huge clouds. In some days, we'll get the rainy season. There are these huge clouds carrying so much water. And one strong gust of wind and the clouds are scattered. Is it not? So vayor iva ghanavali. Avali, Deepavali means a row of lamps. Gita Avali is one series of bhajans written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Gita Avali, a series of songs. So Ghana Avali means a series of clouds. So he's not talking of one cloud. He's saying Vayu has so much strength, it can scatter a series of clouds, multiple clouds. That is the strength of the wind. So many times when there is a comparison made to the Supreme Lord, I have seen usually the comparison points to something that is invisible. You're looking at the sky, there's so many clouds. And then after some time you see all the clouds are scattered. And then you wonder, what happened? I didn't see anybody doing it. What did it? The clouds were scattered by the invisible wind. Is it not? So there are many strong elements in the existence. But many times when God's power has to be compared, I have seen again and again the reference is made to something invisible. Samajh mein nahi aata kaise ho raha hai. Lekin hua hai. To hua hai matlab vayu hai. Any other example where the Supreme Lord is compared to something invisible? Fourth canto, 31st chapter, very famous shloka. Narad Muni is telling the Prachetas. Yatha taroora moola nishechanena, that we should water the root of the tree and not the branches, the fruits, the flowers and the leaves and so on. Why? Because when you water the roots of the tree, the entire tree is nourished. So he is saying, please, achyuta ijja, please worship the Supreme Lord. But where are the roots? Not to be seen. The roots are below the ground. So again, the example that is given for worshipping the Supreme Lord is, you know, comparing the Supreme Lord to something that is invisible. Same shloka, it compares that there are many indriyas of this body. Pranopahara cha yathendriyanam. There are many indriyas. How do you nourish the hand? How do you nourish the leg? How do you nourish the eyes, the ears and so on? By feeding the stomach. What if the hands try to enjoy? They take a samosa or a jalebi in their hands and they say, I want to enjoy this jalebi. There's no enjoyment. What if the eyes try to enjoy the jalebi? There's no enjoyment. It will go on forever. The right way is you put all those eatables in the mouth. And through mouth they go to the belly. And from the belly, the energy comes out and your hands are nourished. So similarly it is mentioned, please worship the Supreme Lord. And by worshipping the Supreme Lord, the entire existence will get nourished. You will also get nourished. So again the example, the comparison is given to the invisible stomach. The hands are seen. The eyes are seen. The nose is seen. The legs are seen. But the belly is not seen. The digestion process is not seen. So three times in the Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord, when there's a reference to the Supreme Lord, it is made to something that is invisible. So this is very interesting that Bhishma is pointing to something invisible. Our prisons are invisible. So the Supreme Lord is invisible and his Maya Shakti is also invisible. What about Kala? It is the impersonal representation of the Supreme Lord in this world, in the material world. That Kala is also invisible. Yes? One example that is given is, I remember seeing one picture. There is a fly that is sitting. And that fly is, there is a tongue that is coming just to catch it. And the tongue comes from a frog. So then the picture shows one fly, there is a tongue, and then as you shift your vision to the right, there is a frog. And that frog has put out, it has a tongue differently. Our tongue is attached inside, that frog's tongue is attached outside. So it sends its tongue like this. So it's about to catch that fly. And then when you see the frog is half inside the mouth of a snake. So the frog himself is being the food of the snake and meanwhile it is hungry for something else. What about the snake? The snake has a mongoose behind him. Yes? What about the mongoose? The mongoose is not being eaten right now, but no, there are these raptors in the sky, the hawk, the eagle, the kite. They feed on the mongoose. And what about the hawk? What about the Garuda? What about the birds like this? Are they also independent of time? So many times we feel, oh, I saw this person harmed by this person. How unfortunate for this person and how fortunate for this person. Yes, many of us sometimes, if you are working, if you are studying, we feel there is this one person, typically called a boss. Yes. And he makes our life miserable. And you know what? Life is very unfortunate with me. And life is very fortunate with him. Wait till you get to see the whole picture. Yes? When he goes home. Yes? I did not say it, yes? But what I'm saying is, we feel I am the only one who's unfortunate. And we feel everyone else is fortunate. But mind you, sa palo yad vashe loko. Time, invisibly. The belly, invisibly. The roots of the tree, invisibly. Maya Shakti, invisibly. The prisons, invisibly. Everything is invisible. Actually, the most important things in our life are invisible. And that's why we need Jnana Chakshu. That's why we need the eyes of knowledge. Yes? So I was thinking, you know, this time factor which is controlling everyone, Sa Palaya the Vashe Loko. Every time we look at the watch, there are these two hands that are going, is it not? So when do the two hands meet each other? 12, then 105. Then 210. You forgot about it. Then 315, 420. Yes, is it not? So I'm saying once in an hour, every time these two hands, they cut each other. Is it not? So all of us are like, you know, somebody hanging from one of the hands and we feel, hey, I'm doing good. You know, the other hand is at the other end. Very soon that hand will come here. And you know, like the scissor, there are two hands of the scissor and they cut. Is it not? So every time you see a clock and you see the two hands coming close to each other, you should know somebody's neck is going to cut now. Yes? So what about in India if it is now 9:15? Yes? Is there some part of the world where it is 9:45? So 9:15 means, you know, two hands at the other end. So now we are all free. I am too free. Time has not attacked us. What about 9:45? Some country, some place on earth where it is 9:45? A lot of people are getting their neck cut. Yes? And very soon here it will be 9:45. Yes? So every moment there is, the hands are closing on each other. Somewhere in this world, is it not? Who can escape time? Yes? So this is time which is having a royal time. It's having a nice time by itself. Yes? In 4.11.19 purport, Prabhupada gives a very nice philosophical point. Very strong, but it helps us to sometimes wake up. He says, in this world there have been great killers like Hitler, Napoleon. And so they killed millions of people. And Prabhupada writes, every now and then, every few years, there is a new book that comes out detailing their lives. Why was Hitler so cruel? What exactly happened in Napoleon's life that he turned so cruel? And then he says, although there is so much statistics about the people Hitler killed and Napoleon killed, nobody asks a question, who killed Hitler? Who killed Napoleon? Who killed Stalin? Who killed all these cruel people? And then Prabhupada says, nobody asks, where is this time factor working from? सबसे बड़े से बड़े राक्षस है लेकिन समय के प्रभाव के सामने सारे लोग झुक गए. सो नोबडी इंक्वायर्स इनटू टाइम एंड दैट टाइम इज जस्ट वन ऑफ द एनर्जीज ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. दिस जस्ट टू गिव अस अ हिंट हाउ पावरफुल इज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. एंड इफ वी गेट इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर फ्रीडम फ्रॉम द फिजिकल प्रिजन्स एंड फ्रॉम द इनविजिबल प्रिजन्स फ्रॉम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड विल इट बेनिफिट अस. बट टू बेनिफिट फ्रॉम दोज इंस्ट्रक्शंस फर्स्ट वी हैव टू बी कन्विंस्ड. राइट नाउ वी आर इम्प्रिजन्ड. Yes, so many of us have received knowledge from the Gita, from the Bhagavatam, but we have not yet accepted the fact that I am imprisoned. And because we have not accepted the fact that we have imprisoned, we take it cheaply. Hey, Gita hai, as it is hai. There's a very nice line by the person who started allopathy. His name is Hippocrates. He's not a hypocrite, by the way. Yes. So he writes honestly, one of the line that he writes is, before you give medicine to somebody, ask him if he is willing to give up the very things that caused him the disease. You might want as a doctor to give him the best medicine and the best treatment. Is he willing to give up those things that caused the disease? Because if he is not willing to do it, it's like starting a fire, putting water on it. That thing will go on forever. The disease will never go. And then what happens is people blame the doctors. Well, inka dawai kuch kaam nahi karta hai. Lekin unhone jo jo bola tha parhej. You know, there are some restrictions that you didn't follow. Yes? So the instructions of the Supreme Lord are all available for us, but then unless we really truly believe, yes, I'm imprisoned, then we won't take those instructions seriously. In 10.34, Krishna is speaking, Mrityu sarva harashchaham udbhavascha bhavishyatam. He's saying, I am Mrityu. So what is this Mrityu? Because we have heard of, just now we mentioned, you know, every moment there is cutting going on, every moment there is destruction going on. So what is death then? So very nice line by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes, as soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Is it true? Yes. As soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Thus, death is devouring every living entity at every moment. But the last stroke is called death itself. That death is Krishna. So there is Nitya Pralaya. Every object in this world that we see is undergoing decay every moment, is it not? Our body is going decay every moment. Our cloth is going decay every moment. So there is death every moment. But then what is death that Krishna speaks of? Krishna says that last stroke where everything ends. I am not talking of Nitya Pralaya, I am talking of Atyantik Pralaya. Jo ant mein hoga na, wo main hu. The greatest pralaya, the greatest death, the greatest change is me. And why is it called the greatest? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he is speaking on this shloka, He quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, text number 39. And there this is mentioned, Mrityur Atyanta Vismriti. So what is mentioned in this shloka is that actually the body that we get in the next life, after what we call is death, is based on our karma in this life. So in this life, we are very conscious of this body. We are very conscious of the acts that we did with this body. We have memories. When I was 5 years old, what did I do? When I was 12 years old, what did I do? So all those memories are there, is it not? All the glorious moments that you had in this life. Sometimes even if everything goes wrong, you can take out a photograph from your album and look at it. Oh, when I was in 10th standard, I stood first. My glorious moment. So it keeps you pacified. What happens at the time of death is, why it is called Atyanta Vismriti. Death is the point, the final change, when even your memories will be taken away. So we feel death is the point when our body is taken away. What about your youthful body? What about your baby body? It's already gone, is it not? But that's not what we call death. So what is death? Death is your possessions are taken away, your body is taken away. But Bhagavatam 11.22.39 is mentioning death is that time when all your memories also will be taken away. So you're actually shelterless. You actually start from zero. Because if you have some memories of some glorious moments, at least there is something to rest upon. Everything is going on in my life, but some moments at least I was winning. But when death happens, even your memories are taken off. So that's why Krishna says, Mrityu sarva harashcham. Sab kuch chhin lunga aapki, smriti bhi main chhin lunga. Yes, so that's why death is something that is very troublesome. And here, Uddhav is mentioning that I am here, and he says, Kshulla Sukhoru Tarsham. So in Marathi, there is a word called Kshullak. Those who are Marathi, they will understand. So sometimes they say, Are Kshullak Goshta hai, yacha patimage jau nako. They say, it's like a worthless thing, don't endeavor so much for it. So here it is mentioned, Kshulla Sukhoru Tarsham. Uddhav is mentioning, as even I am trapped in my prisons, as even I am bit again and again by Kala Sarpa, the two hands of the clock are constantly killing me. Look at my pathetic condition. My pathetic condition is, even in that troublesome situation, I make great endeavors for kshulla sukha. Actually, I make great endeavors for, you know, meager happiness. Oh, happiness bhi aisa kuch bada milta nahi hai. So those of us who have endeavored to get material happiness, all of us know, actually happiness is in the anticipation of happiness. When you get that object in your hands, there's not much happiness. There is happiness before you get it, when you're longing for that object. So some very costly phones, when they're released, they announce a date. And in some countries in this world, like the US, there is a queue of people whole night outside that store just to make sure that they get the phone on the launch date. And these are the people who criticize Indians for standing in queues outside temples. So you just have to choose where you want to stand. All of us need idols. All of us need ideals. They have chosen idols, we have chosen ideals. Is it not? So we don't fall for all this, you know, externals. There's anticipation, there's happiness in anticipation, then you get the object, then there's no happiness. And then there is another happiness. You know what? Telling people how you have that. So before and after there is some happiness, if at all there is. But when you get that sense gratification, the major sense gratification that is there in this world, it lasts for a few moments. It's just a feeling. It's just that whole bubble that is being created. Yes. So Uddhav is really accepting that fact and is saying, please, please, please help me. There is a similar shloka like this. This is the 28th prayer by the Lord, by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narasimhadev. Evam janam nipatitam prabhava hikupe kama abhikamam. Says, my dear Narasimhadev, evam janam nipatitam. In this shloka today it was sampatitam. I have fallen. Bilesmin. Bil matlab naga ka bil, sarp ka bil. So he is saying, Prabhavahi kupe, ahi is a snake. So same concept. My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I have fallen into this deep dark well. And then he says, Kama abhikama manuyah prapatan prasangat. Why have I fallen here? Because of my bad association. My bad association created a bubble of sense gratification. Actually, I know there's no sense gratification. It is only in the anticipation. It is only at the end. But they made me believe it. And then says, Kritva atmasat surarishina bhagavan grihita. Says, but I was rescued from such a place by one of your devotees. He says, katham nu visrijet tava bhritya seva. And now you are asking me, ask something, but all I want is, can I serve my spiritual master? Because he helped me realize, oh, I was in a prison. Oh, I am always being bit by the serpent, the serpent of time. So, how can I give up his service? So, here it is mentioned that my spiritual master, he helped me come out of here. And in today's shloka, Uddhav is requesting Krishna that, please give me your instructions. So, we'll just talk a little bit about the instructions that come from Krishna. And this comparison between these two shlokas, where one time it is mentioned, Asincha, you speak to me. And there Prahlad Maharaj is speaking that my spiritual master rescued me. So is it different? Is it the same? Is it equivalent? What is it? We'll discuss about that. So, I'll tell you two stories and then I'll relate to it. One time, Jananivas Prabhu, one of our head pujaris in Mayapur temple, he was speaking in a class and he asked this question to people. Here we see Radha Madhav. Here we have Radha Gopinath. In Mayapur they have Radha Madhav and they have Ashta Sakhi. So say, why does Krishna play the flute? So obviously the first answer that comes is to call Radharani. But in Mayapur, it's not just Radharani, it's also the eight primary Sagalalita, Vishakha, Tungavidya, so on. So there you cannot answer to call Radharani because Radharani is already there. You cannot even say Lalita, Vishakha because they are also there. So then Jananivas Prabhu mentioned, Madhav is playing his Basuri not to call Radharani, but Radharani is always there. And then Ashtasakhi is always there. He says, he is playing his flute to call all of you. And recently in one program, I spoke this. And after the class, one person came to me and he said, you know what, I'm an artist. And he said, so many times in paintings, in temple motifs, wherever you go, a typical art painting is Krishna playing his flute, is it not? Most common art form. And then he was saying, I never had this understanding that whenever I see Krishna playing a flute, that is his call to me. He's calling me. I always thought, oh, it's between Krishna and Radha, it's between Krishna and his pure devotees. No, Krishna is calling you and me. And then he said, if at all I would have known this before, I would have turned to Krishna consciousness much earlier. So this is Krishna who's calling to all of us. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, in one of his books, Servant of Servant, he's talking about the time when Srila Prabhupada started giving the second initiation. He started giving the Gayatri Mantra. And then he says how Srila Prabhupada mentioned to him that I will give Gayatri Mantra to two people, two kinds of people. One, there are two qualifications. One is somebody who has become serious about chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. That is the first qualification. And then he said, Prabhupada would also see who is firmly fixed up in his service. Because Prabhupada's way of evaluating it was, if somebody has come to be fixed in his service, then it means he has realized the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mantra. So one is just chanting parrot-like, and second is understanding, oh, the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mantra is, I should serve Krishna. And those who are fixed up, it means they have understood the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mantra, not just the sound of the Hare Krishna Mantra. So then, if somebody had these two qualifications, Prabhupada would say, now I am ready to give them second initiation. And then Prabhupada mentioned, actually, the Kama Gayatri, that is the seventh Gayatri mantra that is given to those who are second initiated. It is a secret mantra, so it cannot be spoken on the microphone. But those who have it, they know it. The Kama Gayatri mantra that is given is actually non-different from Krishna. And that Kama Gayatri mantra was first given by Krishna through his flute to Brahmaji. So the first recipient, the first Brahman in this universe was Lord Brahma, and that Lord Brahma received the Gayatri Mantra through the flute sound. So the flute is something that we are going to focus on after some time, but I'm just preparing you for that. That this flute is a very amazing instrument. It can give the Gayatri Mantra, it can give the sound, the knowledge, the Vedic sound, the Shabda, through its very melodious sound. And Brahma, when he heard that, he got the Gayatri Mantra which he spoke, and through the flute sound, simple flute sound, Brahma got all the knowledge, all the understanding, and after that he chants his prayers, Govinda Madhipurusham Tamham Bhajami. So, in one recent sharing by one of my friends, there was a sound clip by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, which mentioned there are five types of knowledge. And then I went through Prabhupada's teachings also, and in Prabhupada also, in three or four of his lectures has spoken on this, It's not mentioned in his books, but in his lectures he mentions there are five levels of knowledge. What is that? So his first is pratyaksha. We are talking of Krishna's instructions to set us free from our imprisonment. So how will we receive this instruction? First is pratyaksha. So pratyaksha level of knowledge is where we see this world and the things in this world through a direct sense perception. So the reality is what is perceivable to my eyes. The reality is what is perceivable to my nose. A level higher than that is called paroksha. So in general, in Sanskrit, a rough translation of paroksha is indirect. So paroksha here, it means I no longer understand the world and the reality based on what I see and what I perceive. I take knowledge from higher authorities. Prabhupada used in one of his lectures the word parampara. So I don't see the reality the way my spiritual master is describing it. I do not see the reality as my seniors are describing it, but they are in parampara. They are speaking from a higher level, so let me accept it. Like right now, here it is very hot. But some parts of the world is cold now. And if I have a friend there, I can call him up and say, so how's the weather there? And he says, it's cold there. And then I ask, which part of the world is this? And then he says, Canada. He says, okay, in Canada right now, it's cold. Okay. But I have no understanding it. I don't have any experience. So pratyaksha nahi hai mere paas. Lekin, I accept it in Canada right now. It is cold. Okay. So this is called paroksha. So what will move us, ordinary souls, from pratyaksha to paroksha? Why should I put faith on somebody who is telling me something that I cannot perceive, something that I cannot verify by my eyes, by my nose, by my ears? It is only that if I have faith on that person. And what is it that generates faith? It is saintly behavior. Yes. So if we see Rup Goswami's nine stages, then it is mentioned. Adho Shraddha, Tataha Sadhu Sangha. So unless Shraddha is there, there cannot be Sadhu Sangha. So then there are so many sadhus, there are so many saintly people, there are so many devotees moving around. Why is there not much transformation? One is, they may not be exhibiting saintly behavior to arouse trust in people's hearts, or there may be a shortage of trust in people's hearts that even though that person is exhibiting saintly behavior, they cannot have that courage to invest their trust and their faith in that person's behavior. So the step that takes us from pratyaksha to paroksha is saintly behavior and shraddha. And then you go to the paroksha platform. So paroksha means you hear something that you cannot experience. Then because you have accepted it, because you have faith in that person, you start working upon it, you start accepting it. And then what happens is you come to a stage called aparoksha. So aparoksha is something that happens when in paroksha you accept a higher word, a higher form of knowledge, but still you have your own speculations. What if? Why not? I have my opinion. I respect you. You have your opinion. But still, so anybody who talks, who gives a talk, he knows these words. These are very familiar words. I accept what you are saying, but still. I know what you are saying is there in the Gita, but what if? So when we give up our speculative tendencies, because we are delving into matters which are beyond us, so then you rise from paroksha to aparoksha. And that gives you realization of the truth. Because unless you accept the word, a bamboo and a sugar cane looks almost the same. And your spiritual master is telling you, this is not bamboo, this is sugar cane. And you keep arguing with him, no, I have experience. One time I lifted something which looked very similar to this, and I bit it, and my teeth broke, and it was bamboo. He's saying, don't worry, have faith on me, this is a sugar cane. Your teeth won't break, and you will have a sweet taste. What if? Why not? And so on. Yes. So then when you get a realization, then you come out to the stage of aparoksha. So from aparoksha, the higher stage is adhokshaja. So adhokshaja has two words, adha and akshaja. Aksha means the eyes and also signifies the senses. So akshaja means the knowledge that comes from the senses. And adhokrita, akshaja gyanam yenam, means that knowledge that pushes, that makes it inferior, what? The knowledge that is born of the senses. It means this is first time you go to the transcendental platform. That you go beyond what is perceivable in this world. So that is called adhokshaja platform. In adhokshaja platform, there is very clear understanding not just of things of this world, but you also very clearly understand who is the Supreme Lord. What is Prakriti? The Jivatma. So somebody was asking me, if I develop a very super refined microscope, With that microscope, will I be able to perceive and see the spirit soul? Because one of the arguments that is given now is, it is so small, 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. So then they say, what if I make a microscope that is able to see 1/10,000 the tip of the hair? No, my dear friend, it is spiritual also that we forgot. So the speciality of the spirit soul is not just its micro size. It's also that it is invisible to the material eyes. So unless we go to the Adhokshash platform, we will not be able to understand Ishvara Tattva, Prakriti Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Kala Tattva, Karma Tattva. Till this platform, it's only theory for all of us. And then beyond the Adhokshash platform comes the Aprakrita platform. So the first one was Prakrita. And the last one is Aprakrita. This is completely transcendental. So after you come across, in reality, Ishvara, Kala, Karma, Jiva and Prakriti, then you understand Jivera Swarubhoi Krishnara Nitya Das. And I should give up this Prakriti, Mahamaya, and I should engage in serving Krishna in Yogamaya. Is it not? So that is the time when you get overflooded by spiritual bliss. That is the time when you actually start engaging with your purified senses, your purified mind, your purified body, purified intelligence. You start serving Krishna. And you actually participate in the pastimes of Krishna. So this is a very high stage, which is very difficult for us. Why did I mention this is, and now I will speak the connection. The earlier the flute stories, and now this. So, on January 30th, 1977, at 2:50 in the morning, something special happened. This is the day on which Srila Prabhupada started translating the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Bhagavatam is his primary message. He wrote Krishna book, but still he wanted to give the Bhagavatam 10th canto, 1st, 2nd, 10th, 9th. And January 30, midnight, In Bhubaneswar there was not a very nice place to stay. There was a hut. If you have been to Bhubaneswar temple, they have maintained Prabhupada's hut. So in one room, Prabhupada gets up at 2:50 in the morning and he starts the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So landmark event. And in the next room, one of his servants is sleeping. And Prabhupada never spoke that tomorrow I am going to start the 10th canto. But, you know, he's hearing. And then Prabhupada, so in the 10th canto, there are 90 chapters. And he started giving summaries of every chapter of the 10th canto. And Prabhupada loves the 10th canto. So as soon as the servant heard it, the servant got up. And servant woke up all the devotees. And I said, do you know what? Prabhupada is starting the 10th canto. They are very happy. And then everyone is crouched towards the wall. It's a hut. You can hear it. And then Prabhupada starts 10th canto. Then that day in the morning, when they go for a morning walk, the devotees come together and they say, Prabhupada, just outside your room, we are going to put up a sign now. On such and such day, at such and such time, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada started translating the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was very happy. Prabhupada said, yes, yes, yes. And then Prabhupada spoke something. He said, you can hear Krishna's flute in the 10th canto. Yes. So that flute that we were talking of, very rare, is it not, to hear Krishna's flute? And Brahmaji heard it. But we are nowhere near Brahmaji, although we may be in the disciplic succession. So Brahmaji heard the flute. And Jananivas Prabhu is saying all of us should hear the flute. Actually Krishna is calling all of us. But kisko sunai deti hai flute? Nahi sunai deti hai na? Jisko complaint hai, Prabhu ji hum itne baar khade rahe hain, lekin Bhagwan ki flute to sunai nahi deti hai. Prabhupada is making the flute available for us. Prabhupada said, if you read the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will hear Krishna's flute. And then he added, he said, if you read chapter number 29 to 34, that is the smiling face of Krishna. So how many of you want to hear Krishna's flute? Sounds very esoteric, but I'll make it simple through Prabhupada's words. It is available in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? So please pick up the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the instructions of Krishna coming through the mouth of his pure devotee. Recently I was giving a class on 13th chapter of the Gita. And shloka number 3 is, it's a kshetra, a very technical subject matter. And text number 3 is, Krishna is saying, Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. So there is one kshetragya, the spirit soul that is there in one body. So he says, the spirit soul knows only about his body. That farmer knows only about his farm. And there is one super farmer. There is one another greater kshetragya, the supreme lord. He knows about all the bodies. So the word, that letter that defines the difference between atma and param atma, in that shloka is the letter cha. Anybody here know Sanskrit? What does the letter cha mean? Yes? And. Is it not simple? Is it not? So he says, in the previous shloka he says, the Atma is Kshetragya. 13.2. And 13.3 says, Kshetragyam cha api mam vidhi. Mujhe bhi jano ki main bhi Kshetragya hun. Lekin kitne Kshetra ke Kshetragya hai aap? Sarva Kshetrishu Bharata. Is it not? This shloka is taken by the Mayavadis, the leader of whom is Shripa Shankaracharya. And then he twists this shloka and he says, see, isme kya likha hai? Cha. So what Krishna is saying is, one way to look at this Kshetra and Kshetragya Prakriti is, the spirit soul is in every Kshetra body. So the spirit soul is in every body and that spirit soul knows that body. And then in the next line, next shloka, he is saying cha. So he is saying, I also know every body. It means I and you are the same. Twisting. You didn't understand it, right? How many of you did not understand this analogy? You are fortunate. That means you are Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas don't understand all this word jugglery. He has a twist karke, to cha aisa hai, vaisa hai. But that's how Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in his commentary on the shloka, mentions, this shloka is a favorite shloka of the Mayavadis to say how the Jiva and the Supreme Lord is one. And Baldev Vidya Bhushan just gives a simple commentary, but cha means and means two people. So means he is also Kshetraka, but I am also Kshetraka. But difference is, I am Kshetraka of all Kshetras. How simple to understand, is it not? So if Krishna gives his instructions to us, what happens is, mostly we twist it. We won't accept it as it is. Fourth chapter of the Gita describes transcendental knowledge to be like a boat. Sarvam jnana plave naiva vrijinam santarishyasi. In one of the shlokas where Lord Shiva is instructing the Prachetas, 4th canto, 24th chapter, there also he gives this example. Jnana nau, he says. The boat of knowledge, he says. So the boat of knowledge is a very nice boat to cross over the material world. But the problem, you know what? We take that boat that is given by Krishna and sometimes we like to make our own amendments to the boat. So we cut a little bit. Sometimes we may make a little hole there just to make it look very fashionable. And what happens when you make a hole in a boat? Most probably it will sink, is it not? So that's how, even if Krishna gives you knowledge directly, Uddhav in today's shloka is saying, please Asinja, please tell me instructions to set me free. Krishna has given the Gita. Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya. Krishna has spoken the Gita. What is the need of any other scripture? But that scripture, that knowledge given to us by Krishna can also be twisted by a few souls. And then in their line, all of us are cheated. So, seedha seedha bola hai, hum mein aur aap mein kya antar hai? Aap simit hai, hum vibhu hai, I am infinite, you are finite. But then we have our own ways of twisting it. So, what is the safe way to get Krishna's knowledge? The safe way to get Krishna's knowledge is not from Krishna. To get Krishna's knowledge, the safest way to get it amrit as it is without being contaminated is to get knowledge in parampara from his pure devotees. And that's why when Prabhupada says, pick up the 10th canto, that is where you will hear Krishna's flute. Please do not pick up 10th canto, only Sanskrit verses. We have that kind of original. Yes? Oh, sirf Sanskrit chahiye, usme na kuch purport, ye sab nahi chahiye. Sometimes when we are doing a program, some people come to us and say, Prabhuji, ye sab to theek hai. Ye Gita, Bhagavatam sab theek hai. Original Vedas hai kya aapke paas? You know, inside my mind I am asking, samajh mein aayega kya tumko? Keno Upanishad, Katho Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, Shvetashvatar Upanishad, you know, all those are like tricky verses there. Na dure, na antike. The Supreme Lord is not near, he is not far. He is close to you, yet he is far. There always, you know, riddle-like shlokas there, people get confused there. And that's why Prabhupada has given us, you know, simplified knowledge. But we have our own thing. That boat that Krishna has given to us. Thoda modify karu kya isko? Uska jo, you know, the two sides of the boat are very tall to prevent us from sinking into the material ocean. Bhava Sagar. Dikhta nahi hai. The Sagar dikh nahi hai. Thoda kaat dete hai isko. You make it short and then waves come inside once in a while. And then slowly one day you go off in the direction of Mayavad. Sink there. Is it not spiritual suicide? Mayavad is spiritual suicide. You sink into the Bhavasagar. You had a chance to go back to the spiritual world, but you sank there. Is it not? So, 10.2.31, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, because we are now focusing on that. Prabhupada said, this is where the flute of Krishna is heard. So, this is the prayers of the demigods, devatas, to Krishna in the womb. This is one shloka about the boat. Is it okay to speak this shloka? So this is where demigods are saying, they are addressing Krishna and saying, Swayam Samuttirya Sudustaram Dhyuman. He says, my dear Lord, you are like the self-effulgent sun. But we are going to talk to you about something else now. They are addressing Krishna. Krishna, we are going to talk about something else. I'll speak the shloka. Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dyuman bhavarnavam bhimamadabhra saurudha bhavatpadam bhuruhanavamatrate nidhayayata sad anugraha bhavan. I'll read a translation as it is. This Prabhupada's translation. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vancha Kalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of Nishayans, that Bhavasagar is not just small waves coming to embrace you, they are tall waves coming to drown you. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of Nishayans, now please pay attention, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. So what is mentioned is, some people twist Krishna's words, but not everyone twists Krishna's words. There are these pure devotees who do not twist Krishna's words, and they cross over the material ocean of Nishayans. But one interesting thing is, in this world, when somebody crosses over a river, when somebody crosses over the ocean, the boat in which he is sitting goes over to the other side, yes? And then it is not available to the next people. Here it is mentioned, this boat is very amazing boat. The acharyas themselves will cross over the ocean using that boat, but very interestingly, they leave the boat behind for others also to cross. And what is that? It is the methods that they have used to cross over this world. So in the purport, if you see, Prabhupada gives a very nice example. Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami has mentioned certain rules in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We should do this, we should do this to please Krishna. In this way we will go back home, back to Godhead. And then he says, our Krishna consciousness movement is based on the same rules. And he says, we have told our followers to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follow the four regulative principles. And if somebody does that, because it has come from a devotee, Krishna will accept it. The question is not whether somewhere in the Vedas there is a reference to this. People also have these kind of questions. Na? A 16 rounds, for kahan se aaya, kahan, kaun se Upanishad mein diya hai? It has come from the heart of a pure devotee. And because it has come from a devotee, Krishna will accept it. And he says, he writes a very nice line here. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur. There are mentions, Haridas Thakur would chant unlimitedly, and then devotees have that kind of a tendency. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. This method is 16 rounds and four regulative principles. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. He does not call himself the authorities. The acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of Nishayans by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. And now this is the concluding line of the purport. One must worship the lotus feet of the acharya and live within the society of devotees. That is the most difficult part. How we hope this line was not there in the purport. Because everything else we are ready to do. Worship the acharya and live in the association of devotees. That's where we get purified. Then one's endeavor to cross over Nishayans will surely be successful. So anybody who wants to cross over, two things. Worship the acharya, follow his instructions, and live in the association of devotees. Now I'm going to speak something very nice. This is a comment by Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur on this same shloka. Can I read it? So these are his words verbatim. Leaving the boat on the bank means that the devotees establish bhakti movements and then cross the ocean of material existence. So 500 years back, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur has predicted the formation of a bhakti movement, which we call today International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So very interesting, is it not? When I read this word here, bhakti movements, I was really amazed. Leaving the boat on the bank, what does it mean? Prabhupada started the bhakti movement, ISKCON. Leaving the boat on the bank means that the devotees establish bhakti movements and then cross the ocean of material existence. By this act, others are able to cross over the ocean of repeated birth and death. This is only an expression of humility in the devotees. For them, the material world is compared to the water in a calf's hoof print, because the water in a calf's hoof print is actually purifying and praiseworthy. In the same way, the devotee's impression that he is caught in samsara purifies the devotee of the disease of false identification and is therefore praiseworthy. So the pure devotees, it's not that they need that boat and all that. It's not that they need the method. They are already purified. It's like crossing over a calf's hoof print. But they invent, they start this bhakti movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that millions and millions of you and me people, we can cross over. Yes. So I was reading Madhya Leela Chaitanya Charitamrit, 16th chapter, shloka number 67. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Nityanand Prabhu. And in Puri, he is telling Nityanand Prabhu, my dear Nityanand Prabhu, all of us are in Puri. But what about devotees in the Bengal? I cannot go there, so you should go there and you should preach to them. So he is saying, Hena Siddhi Prapte Anyena Dekhaye Amar Dushkara Karma Toma Hoite Hoye. Lord Chaitanya is saying, Hena Siddhi Prapte, I cannot see any other means of deliverance for the Bengali people because I cannot go there. Then he says, Amar Dushkara Karma Toma Hoite Hoye. He is saying, something that is difficult for me is possible for you. Who is speaking this? The Supreme Lord. And for whom it is easy? The devotee of the Lord. How is it possible like this? So if you read the purport, this Madhya 16.67, very beautiful purport. And then he says, why is Lord Chaitanya saying like that? Because Lord Chaitanya was never meant to become violent, but in one situation he became violent. He was about to kill Jagai and Madhai. And he says, Lord Nityanand, although he is a devotee of the Lord, he is not the Supreme Lord. He is a devotee of the Supreme Lord, servant of the Supreme Lord. Not only did he save Jagai and Madhai from getting killed, he gave them love of Godhead. So, amara dushkara karma, toma hoite hoy. I was about to kill him. You saved his life and you gave him love of Godhead. And then he gives two other examples. He says in Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra did a few things. Who was the greatest hero of Ramayana? Hanumanji. Amara dushkara karma, toma hoite hoy. Lord Ramchandra needs a bridge to cross over and Hanumanji just took a jump. So, who's the great Lord? Ramchandra or Hanumanji? Then he gives another example. He says, Lord Krishna in the Mahabharata war, he just spoke a few words, guided Arjun, but who fought the war? Who's the hero of Mahabharata? He says, Arjun. Then he gives another example. Want to hear this example? He says, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityanand Prabhu delivered one Jagai and Madhai. And he says, by the mercy of the same Lord Nityanand, his servants can deliver thousands of Jagais and Madhais. And then again he speaks, this is the special qualification of parampara. He says the Supreme Lord takes great pleasure in seeing that his devotee outdoes him. So that's why Lord Chaitanya is saying, Amara dushkara karma, jo main nahi kar sakta hun, aap mere bhakt kar sakte hain. Yes? So what is more beneficial for us? What is more easier for us? Getting Supreme Lord's instructions verbatim in the form of the Vedas and Upanishads and all that? Or getting the explanations of the words of the Supreme Lord through his acharyas, through his devotees. Obviously the second one. It's more easier, and that's how the Supreme Lord wants to establish the bhakti movements in this world. Yes. So Chaitanya Charitamrit, Antya Leela, 5th chapter. This is the chapter where Pradyumna Mishra is taught by Lord Chaitanya how to respect somebody like Ramanand Raya. So Ramanand Raya is a grihastha. The family wise, his birth is not a very high birth. Pradyumna Mishra is a brahmachari in the renounced order, and also he is born a brahman by birth. But then he wants to teach how in bhakti there is no jati kuladi vichar. So at the end, after he instructs Pradyumna Mishra through Ramanand Raya, there are beautiful shlokas which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, where it is mentioned how Lord Chaitanya taught the world different things, not himself, through his devotees. Amara dushkara karma toma hoite hoy. Then he says, Bhakta guna prakashite prabhu bhala jane, nana bhangite guna prakashi nijha labha mane. So bhakta guna prakashe. Bhakto ke kya kya gun hai, wo dikhane mein bhagwan ko bahut achha lagta hai. And then, nana bhangite guna prakashi nijha labha mane. And when his devotees are glorified, then he says, oh, that is my profit. This is what I wanted to do this. Then he says, Bhakti prema tatva kahe raya kari vakta. So through Ramanand Raya, he taught what is bhakti. Through Ramanand Raya, he taught what is prema. Through Ramanand Raya, he taught what is the tattva. What is the absolute truth? Raya kari vakta, apani pradyumna mishra sah haya shrota. And who heard from Ramanand Raya? He himself and also Pradyumna Mishra. And then he says, Haridasa dwara nama mahatmya prakash. Lord Chaitanya is a yuga avatar. He came here to give us the holy name, but he did not spread it himself. He gave it to us through Haridas Thakur. Nama Haridas Dwara Nama Mahatmya Prakash Sanatana Dwara Bhakti Siddhanta Vilas. He taught Sanatan Goswami and asked him to write many books. Hari Bhakti Vilas is one of the books that Sanatan Goswami has written, where the intricacies of bhakti, what are the do's, what are the don'ts are mentioned. If we don't read these books and if we try to read the Upanishads, we won't understand bhakti. We are not taking advantage of the boat that is Krishna given to us. Where is the question of crossing over this ocean on this hands? And the last loka he says, Shri Rupa Dwara Vrajera Prema Rasalila Ke Bujite Pare Gambhira Chaitanya Rakhela. And through Rupa Goswami, he taught the loving mellows of Vrindavan. So Haridas Thakur, he used in such a way to become more famous than himself. Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Ramananda Rai. So here we see how the Supreme Lord takes great pleasure in glorifying his devotees and making them more accessible to the people at large. So that's why Prahlad Maharaj in that original shloka was saying, Soham katham nu visrije tava bhritya seva. So in today's shloka it is mentioned, oh my dear Lord, please nourish me with the nectar of your instructions. But those instructions, if we directly try to get, we may not accept it nicely, we may not understand it properly, we may not have help, inspiration to apply them properly. But when we accept teachings that are coming in parampara, then we understand, yes, what is the right way to accept those instructions, what is the way to apply those instructions. And then we can get free from the physical prisons and also the invisible prisons that all of us are bound up in. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, there is an announcement. Today's breakfast prasad is sponsored by His Grace Shyam Sundar Anand Prabhuji in loving memory of his uncle, Sri Ram Krishna, who passed away on 14th May. Seeking blessings and prayers from all Vaishnavas for the spirit.